Welcome, everybody, to the NFL Recap Show. I almost said the backdoor cover because I just did that podcast. But we are the NFL Recap Show. With me is my co-host, the Two and Joe Giants. You guys can't see his name, but as we're still witnessing the run of these Giants, he's able to continuously brag about it. But hopefully
that it's a limited amount of time. So
nah, you good, man. You good. Hey, every win counts. Thursday night's game saw the Chiefs and the Chargers play. Nice little backdoor cover if you were a gambling person and you took the Chargers there.
Herbert coming through, man. Yeah. With the broken ribs and everything.
Yeah, but your boy Staley ain't coming through. What's going on with Staley, man? I'm sick of it. Are you gonna finally admit that he's just not the guy that you thought he was analytically? He's a punk.
I mean, I think if you're on football analytics Twitter at all, then everyone was in crisis mode the entire Thursday night game because he decided to punt on a couple of fourth downs. And listen, obviously, I'm an analytics person. I'm disappointed that he decided to punt on – or like, first he decided to kick a field goal on their opening drive. It was fourth and one or fourth and two from the 13. That's an obvious go situation. I think that was actually the worst call of the game for him. And twice more in the first half. They had fourth and two just on the Chiefs' side of the field. They decided to punt. One of those was with about a minute to go in the half, so I think that made sense. Punting guaranteed Kansas City would at least not score, where if you fail there, you're kind of gifting Mahomes a field goal probably. But, yeah, at least two out of those three times, I think it was a clear go. He didn't, so everyone's in crisis mode. Is it disappointing? Yes, because I think, you know, I don't know that I would say that was the thing that cost them the game. I think the interception and then the dropped interception by the Chargers, those are really the two key plays. But if he goes for it on the field goal and they get a touchdown there at the end of the game, it's a totally different situation. If he goes for it on one of the other two and they get a field goal or a touchdown, it changes what they're doing at the end of the game. But they still converted two fourth downs that led to touchdowns. I don't think we should suddenly panic and be like, this guy doesn't understand anything. He's
panic. I'm celebrating. This is great.
You're celebrating with football analytics.
He is the fraud that I thought he was.
He's not a fraud.
He's a fraud.
He's a smart coach.
You're either in or you're out.
Some of us were hoping.
No, you're either in or you're out. When it's fourth down, there are those of us who go to the school of Frank Wright. We don't care. We're going for it. We don't care. I think Staley knows that he doesn't call his best plays, and therefore he gets nervous.
The biggest mistake he seems to have made was making Joe Lombardi his offensive coordinator.
Because it's Lombardi's fault.
It's Lombardi's fault, and then it's Staley's fault in that he hired Lombardi. This isn't even like a Joe Judge situation where you could be like, well, Jason Garrett is maybe Mara's fault. No, this is Staley decided I'm hiring him. It looks like a mistake. All the issues that existed last year are existing this year. They're not throwing down the field nearly enough when you have Justin Herbert. And you have Mike Williams, who's making great plays that whole first half. I mean, if I'm remembering right, the average depth of Herbert's throws in the second half was under 4 yards. This should never be happening if you have Justin Herbert, because the full playbook should be open. And it's not like Kansas City. I mean, obviously they got to him a couple times and eventually they broke his ribs. But it's not like they were being fully overwhelmed by that pass rush. So I think that's my main concern about this team outside of Herbert's ribs going forward. But again, I really look at this game, it kind of played out the way you thought. Like, Kansas City wins, it's close. I mean, again, the two key plays, Asante Samuel drops the pick. Some people I saw on Twitter were arguing they shouldn't have overturned the pick. I think the refs probably got that one right. It looked like he dropped it. But that was going to be them having the ball deep in Kansas City territory when they were up. And then you have the pick six, which, again, feels like a coaching mistake kind of, because the reason that was a pick six was Gerald Everett was too gassed to run the route right. And so instead of cutting inside, he just didn't do anything. It was an easy pick six, where if they just slow it down there, there's a good chance they score the touchdown there and they're up seven as opposed to the reverse. But it's a two-play game, which is what we expect from these teams. Obviously, the issue is we've seen the Chargers blow games like this both last year under Staley and, well, basically every year that you've watched the Chargers for God knows how long.
So I want to congratulate you on the first NFL filibuster, because all I heard was womp, 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 womp. Staley's not the guy. He's not the guy.
Staley's defense, though, now that he has the players, they looked really good. I mean, again, Kansas City's offense only scored 20 points, which if that's Kansas City's offense, 20 points is always a win. So I think that defense looked really good and was kind of, again, outside of a dropped pick, gave me what I wanted to see out of them. The issues are on the other end. And, yeah, I don't know if that's going to get fixed this year.
Justin Herbert's ribs is probably the story going forward.
Yeah.
But they're fractured. I don't think that's a good look. I'm a little worried. I personally probably would sit him. But, hey, I know these guys want to tough it out. But what, if they break, you're going to regret that decision.
I mean, the hope is, although this is kind of an opportune time to maybe sit him, because they've got, well, I mean, the Jags look a little lively. We'll get to them later. But the next three games are Jags, at Houston, at Cleveland. So it's like, if you sit him for a week or two, like you sit him for those 2 weeks, I would still be like, we should come out of this 1-1, even with Chase Daniel, if I'm playing the Jags in Houston the next 2 weeks. But it sounds like he's going to play. So that's,
yeah, it sounds like he's going to play. So I wish him the best. My least favorite game of the week, the Dolphins versus the Ravens. And we have a new segment, this it'll be a two-part segment. This is my first segment of this guy doesn't get it. And that would be the defensive coordinator of the fucking Ravens. Oh, my God.
He's new. This is like the Wink Martindale.
It doesn't matter, bro. There is so much history showing that you should never, ever, 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 ever have man-to-man coverage with Tyreek Hill and nobody over top to help.
Well, that's fair. I can't argue that at all.
Like, the cover three aspect, again, I'm going to go back and look. Hill's first touchdown was against cover three. And he got an inside release, and he just outran the corner, and the safety just never dropped back, like, deep enough. I don't know what happened. Like, the safety cheated. Like,
I think part of the issue is because there's a new defensive coordinator. He's trying
to. Bro, man, listen.
And the coverage wasn't where it needed to be, which, again, I don't know if this is the week, especially once you're up big.
But they were playing,
really trying to do that.
So. They were playing cover three for most of the game. And then for some odd reason, for some odd reason, he got away from it. The Dolphins scored 28 points in the fourth quarter,
which is like the maximum you can, like, conceivably basically score.
I don't even think Tua broke 100 yards passing in the first half, and he ended with 400 and is that 69?
Yeah, it is.
Jesus. Six touchdowns. It's mad in numbers. My man Lamar Jackson was 21 for 29 with three touchdowns. And look, he threw for 318 and three touchdowns. Carried the ball 9 times for 119 yards and the touchdown, and he still lost. He accounted for over 400 yards of their offense, and he still lost. Like, man, he need to punch every defensive player in the face. This was the most embarrassing loss until the Browns game, and I just don't have words for what I saw. I don't care if you're new. Again, this guy doesn't get it. Why are you playing man-to-man? That last touchdown that Hill had, there, people were saying, oh, he thought he had help over top. Did you see the video I sent you?
Oh, no, I actually haven't.
Man, their initial alignment. Matter of fact, I posted it on the Twitter handle, and my caption was, the Ravens literally disregarded 5 years of data. To prove that they were tough. That's what I got. That looked like a bravado call. You challenge Tyreek Hill, man to man, just you and me, no help over top. You're showing cover zero from the start. The closest safety is damn near 25, 30 yards away. And on the right side of I hate these ads. He's on the right side of of the field. And when the ball is snapped, like, Hill literally just ran. Like, there was no hope.
Right, it wasn't complicated. It's just, yeah, he's really fast.
So it's ridiculous. Waddle is insanely fast too, and they're covering him man to man as well. Like, bro, what is this? Has to stop. I'm gonna start a campaign. I want Cover Zero to end. It needs to go away. The only time I want to see Cover Zero is if there's a short field.
Yeah, that's fair. It definitely doesn't make sense when you have room to spare and you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle on the other side. A few things I want to throw out statistically from this game. So the Ravens average, this is from Football Perspective, the Ravens averaged 8.76 yards per play, committed zero turnovers. That's the fifth highest average yards per play without a turnover by a team that lost in NFL history. And it was all Lamar. The running game for the rest of the Ravens is atrocious right now. They ran the ball 16 times by people not named Lamar Jackson. They got 36 yards. They had 10 plays in this game where they needed 1 yard to get a touchdown or a first down. They got it on three of them. So the run game right now is a real problem. Now, hopefully, you get J.K. Dobbins back. Who knows what he'll look like coming off a major injury. But hopefully he puts some life in this game. Because right now, I mean, our big question about the Ravens was, can this passing game work? Rashad Bateman's doing everything that you'd hope for. Mark Andrews is still Mark Andrews. This is as good as I've ever seen this passing game look. And they couldn't close this game out, in part because they couldn't run the clock out. Now, obviously, the defensive issues are, you know, a whole different matter. Hopefully, they get this stuff sorted out. They learn from this. I still think, looking at the rest of this division, I'm still buying in on the Ravens heavily. And then in the Dolphins, the crazy thing is, if you look at, like, average depth of throw and stuff, it's not different from last year if you're just looking at that basic thing. But you have more talent and a better scheme, because this scheme is obviously, the Shanahan scheme is designed to just put guys in a position where they can run after the catch. And when they have the speed, it works. So I don't think, as well as he might have played in that fourth quarter, I mean, Tua also threw two picks in this game. I don't think we should suddenly be like, Tua is the answer. He's amazing. But can Tua be, I guess, potentially like a better version of Jimmy Garoppolo? Yeah, he might be able to do that. And that could be enough because, again, you have Jalen Waddle and you have Tyreek Hill.
You mentioned Jimmy G on this podcast one more time before we talk about the Niners. I will end it. I don't want to talk. But no, for real, yeah. Listen, all you can ask for people is that when they get their shots, they take them, and that's what he did. That's what he did. He had he targeted Waddle 19 times.
Yeah.
So, again, hey, he threw 50 times. 32 of those throws were to Waddle and Hill. That's all you can ask. And if people,
that's what you should be doing, yeah.
If people are going to play these dudes man to man, then damn it, that's the type of numbers you should have. That's the type of numbers you should have. That is just an atrocious game plan. Absolutely stupid. The worst loss of the day until you get to this Jets.
I was going to say, yeah.
Until you get to the Jets.
There's three game. Big competitors for the worst loss of this week.
How, Sway, how, looking at this game with a minute and 55 seconds left, it was 30-17.
Literally, that Nick Chubb could have taken a knee instead of running into the end zone, and the game would have ended. And the Browns would be 2-0 right now, and we'd be like, wow, this team's in a great spot, blah, blah, blah. But he did what his fantasy managers wanted and what Browns fans now regret. He ran it in. And, I mean, the crazy thing to me is the first touchdown that the Jets score, because they just didn't cover Corey Davis. Just didn't cover it. It was a 66-yard touchdown with under 2 minutes left. I don't – like, that's the one thing you can't do. And they did it.
It's crazy. Going for two – and winning the game. Wait, no, they didn't go for two. Never mind. They didn't go for two.
Yeah, it wasn't even complicated. Yeah, it
wasn't even complicated.
Yep, got the ball back and
never mind.
The big story for me, if you're a Jets fan, is just Garrett Wilson looks freaking awesome.
Let me see.
I mean, 8 receptions, 102 yards, 2 scores. Like, he looks really good. So, I mean, obviously the real thing is we're waiting to see what this offense looks like with Zach Wilson, but it's a good sign that with whatever Joe Flacco has left, he ended up with 300 yards and 4 touchdowns in this game. He was, I believe Robert Mays said on his podcast that he finished 6th in EPA per dropback this week. So, bad sign for the Browns defense, which is, I think if you're a Browns fan, you're hoping was going to take a big step forward this year. But Myles Garrett's kind of the only guy that's really getting pressure on that defense. And yeah, that's going to be an issue. If Joe Flacco can find time behind what's left of the Jets line, because they got banged up in preseason, it's not good for when you face real teams.
30-17, the Browns win probability was 99.8%. That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, for Flacco to play like this on the road is definitely big. I don't know. Like, I'm happy that the Jets are being competitive. I'm happy that they won. They're not like, oh, we're going to tank type stuff. But, like, when you lose games like this, it just makes you really question, like, are these coaches really smarter than us?
I mean, sometimes – I mean, as a Giants fan, I certainly have experience in wondering that. But, yeah, I mean, it's just sometimes it's basic stuff. That, like, there's so many creative things that even the worst coaches can generally do that I would have no idea to do. But then it's just like the basics they mess up, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I just disgusted, equally disgusted in the fact that the Patriots won too, but it wasn't like super shocking. Patriots 17, Steelers 14. It was the snooze that we all thought. How long do I need to see Mitch Trubisky at quarterback? Yeah. The time is now. The time was 2 weeks ago. He shouldn't even have been named starter. I don't get it.
I mean, the whole idea, again, as someone who thought Ben Roethlisberger was maybe the worst quarterback in the NFL last year, the whole idea this year was like, all right, now we'll get to see what this offense can really look like. But, I mean, obviously I didn't think Trubisky would be good. I thought he might at least air it out sometimes, and that hasn't happened. I mean, their longest pass of the game, which I don't know if this how far this was in the air, but it was 23 yards. That was they had only had one pass play that went for over 20 yards yesterday. That's not going to work. So if Trubisky's not giving you anything, then yeah, just let's find out what Kenny Pickett is.
Do something, man. I mean, the division looks like it can be competitive. Like, it's up for the grabs. Like, the Ravens are showing issues on defense. The Bengals are showing issues on offense. And the Browns have Jacoby Brissett. Yeah.
9 more games.
Yeah, they have they're starting Jacoby Brissett. Do you want to be competitive or not, man? And if you do, you need to go with the best option at quarterback. This was a winnable game for the Steelers, and they just couldn't get it going on offense. So it's unfortunate.
That Steelers defense is obviously good enough to be in contention for the playoffs, which is all you're trying to do this year. But yeah, is Pickett better than Trubisky? Is he remotely close? Because if it's like, oh, it's 50-50, then you should be playing Pickett. I guess it makes sense to start Trubisky at the start, because obviously if things go bad, it's easier to bench him than vice versa. But now that we've seen Trubisky, unless something markedly improves next week, I don't think they should be. I mean, you could argue, again, like this week, just start Pickett. Because we've seen Trubisky. He's still Mitch Trubisky. He was not magically fixed by being on the Bills for one season.
The Jags were 99.9% expected to win, and they didn't blow the game. but wow, what a win. I mean, 24-0, that the zero
dominated.
Yeah, the zero that they held is what really got me. They didn't even try to score in the fourth quarter. Trevor Lawrence, you know, you're a nerd. PFF had him graded as the highest. So,
he had 5 incompletions on 30 passes. Yeah, so
it's fire. Matt Ryan is awful. He's not the Phillip Rivers experiment, but I expect him to do better once he gets home this week, but just in general. But Taylor having only 9 carries, I know a lot of that probably had to do with the fact that they were down. But Here's my thing about that. So you're down 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. And even with it being 7-0 at the end of the first quarter, you could still run the ball, man. Like, he should have 9 carries in a quarter, not a game.
I mean, against the Texans, they were still running, and they were down that entire game, and they were still running because he was getting like 6 yards a carry because he's really good, and for whatever reason, the Texans kept playing a light box. But, yeah, again, Michael Pittman was out this game. That's the best defense for Matt Ryan, and it's the worst defense for the game plan this coaching had. Like, we love Frank, but again, you're missing the one legitimate receiver on this team, which is a lasting issue this team's going to have, because even when they get Alec Pierce back, I don't think he's going to help. So it's all Michael Pittman, and if he's not there, yeah, you should just feed Taylor constantly. So, constantly. And then Matt Ryan, you got 5 sacks through 3 picks. I mean, it was awful. And then Jags offense, yeah, Lawrence, this was kind of the exact game you want to see out of him. Christian Kirk is going a long way in these first 2 weeks to potentially justifying that contract. Evan Ingram caught 7 of 8 passes, which is a minor miracle. I think they're the favorites in this division now, because I still obviously don't believe in the Texans. I think the Titans are who I thought they were. And the main reason I didn't like the Jags that much to pull the trigger on them being kind of the shocking team that was awful last year that does well this year is I thought the Colts would be pretty good. And after 2 games against the Texans and the Jags, I don't have a lot of reason to still believe that. I think they'll be better. I don't think this is the norm for the Colts, but I think the Jags are the favorites.
Yeah, they got a couple injuries.
And Shaq Leonard's been out the first 2 weeks.
Shaq didn't play. Buckner didn't play either last week, I believe. So and then Pittman was out. So this, but 24-0 is still not acceptable.
Well, and the other thing about Trevor Lawrence is this game is who's the Colts defensive coordinator now? Do you remember?
No.
It's Gus Bradley. Who you can always know what to expect as far as looks go with his defense. So it's not a surprise that now that Trevor Lawrence has a real offensive coach that he's able to pick it apart. And we thought maybe they'd be fine because this division was bad enough, but the Texans are at least competitive. The Jags might actually be decent. So, yeah, I think the Colts are in trouble.
Yeah. They got to win this week, which
is
unfortunate because they're playing the Chiefs. But
right. 0-3 is – or, well, I guess 0-2-1 is tough to come back from, even if you're in a bad division.
Public service announcement. I want to take time out to remind everybody that Baker Mayfield is trash. Panthers 16, Giants 19. A game that had me sweating for no reason other than the fact that I really took the Giants as 2.5 favorites. Really pissed me off too, because I was like, why did I do this to myself? Saquon, 21 carries for 72 yards. Not the game that people expected him to have. Which is crazy because week 1 they were saying he was back, and then week 2 it was like, But I think the game plan was always to slow him down and have beat them.
Christian McCaffrey, be everyone's game plan.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey got off 102 yards on 15 carries, but once again, Baker isn't good. 14 for 29, 145 yards. Like, I mean, I think the defense of the Giants has talent. But come on, man.
Well, that's the thing, though, is the talent, it wasn't really out there. I mean, Adoree Jackson's really good, and he was out there, and he was at least shutting down one of the receivers the whole game. But, I mean, I think we have our starting linebackers are 2 of the bottom 5 graded linebackers on PFF. They're terrible. And then Azeez is out. He hasn't played a game yet. Kayvon's been out. He hasn't played a game yet. Leonard Williams missed most of the second half with a knee injury, which is actually then when McCaffrey started to really get going more. And he still couldn't get anything done because Wink knew if I just pressure Baker, he's going to freak out. He's going to roll to his right, and nothing's going to happen. Because
every time, bro. Every time.
And so that's all we did is every key situation was bring pressure, and as long as someone isn't wide open at the moment the snap happens, Baker's not going to be able to handle it. And it worked out great. Now – I think that's going to be the only hope next week against the Cowboys is doing the same thing that Cooper Rush, because Yeah, the Giants' offense is not great. I mean, the first two possessions the Panthers had in this game, they fumbled the ball inside their own 40-yard line, and the Giants came away with 6 points. We had basically one good touchdown drive this entire game. Otherwise, it was four field goals. Fun fact I realized is this game had the worst rated on PFF pass blocking tackle and the worst rated run blocking tackle in the NFL for 2 weeks. So your boy Icky is the worst graded pass blocking tackle, and Evan Neal is the worst graded run blocking tackle so far. So some room for improvement on the rookie offensive tackles there.
Icky style of play is going to take him a couple years to become a good pass blocker.
Yeah.
Trent Williams didn't come in a good pass blocker either. He was really aggressive, and people said that was going to be a negative. And look at him now. So give my man Icky a couple years.
I mean, and a good example of this is Andrew Thomas, who was a disaster, especially the first half of his rookie year for the Giants. And he is currently the top graded tackle in all football right now.
So, you really just set me up so you could plug a Giants player. That was phenomenal.
You're welcome. But again, though, if there's one good offensive lineman on the Giants, that's going to be a real problem when they face Dallas on Monday night.
Question. Are you Lattimore and am I Mike Evans? Is that our relationship? Buccaneers.
I didn't see who won the fight, actually. I have not seen the clip. I've only heard about it.
I don't know Evans and Lattimore, but I know that kind of energy. Evans hates that man. The sight of him makes him want to, like.
It's not new. Yeah.
Yeah. Buccaneers 20, Saints 10. I mean, the Buccaneers won the game. They deserved to win the game, especially after Jameis started throwing his interceptions. But it just sucks that up until that fight, it seemed like it was going to be a Saints, like, ugly win. And then once Lattimore got kicked out, things just went downhill quickly. Evans is gone for next week. Really, the story is going to be how does this affect the Buccaneers next week. But Brady, 18 for 34, 190 yards, one touchdown, struggled. Everybody just seemed out of sync for the Buccaneers until Jameis gave them the two turnovers after they had the tying field goal or the go-ahead field goal. So that kind of threw them off a little. But the main storyline of this game was the fight, which wasn't like a fight. It wasn't Cortland Finnegan and Andre Johnson, but Evans be bullying that dude. Lattimore didn't even get suspended. Evans got a game. I love it.
Yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, this was kind of what you expected out of the Bucs against the Saints based on how it's gone the last 2 years when Tom Brady's played. He's played five games against the Saints prior to this. He won one. So it's not a surprise. Jameis apparently, what's he playing with? Does he have broken ribs or something?
He's got a back issue.
His back issue, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a bad sign when you found out that Jameis Winston is playing hurt, because no surprise there, it led to a lot of turnovers. And, I mean, the Bucs defense feels kind of like a story through 2 weeks, because they've dominated both teams that they played. And that was Dallas with Dak. And, I mean, you know, Saints, obviously, we don't expect this to be a great offense, but they got nothing done in this game.
So, like I said on the Gambling Podcast, I just didn't want to give the Bucs defense too much credit because I don't think the Cowboys' game plan was good at all. Not saying that they're not good. Just I want to see what they do against Aaron Rodgers on Sunday before I start saying they're good.
When they're good, it's just a question of how good.
Yeah, I mean, I remember there were times in spurts where they were good last year, and then – in actuality, I don't think they were as good as people thought. Just the stats don't always tell the whole story. You do get some favoritism when you like go against a team like the Cowboys in week one and they just really looked unprepared. And then Jameis starts throwing the ball all over the place. Doesn't help either. So you get some consistency out of Aaron Rodgers. So if they can hold Aaron Rodgers to a subpar game, I'll be ready to say that they're one of the better defenses in the first part of the season. Game of the week. My Detroit Lions, Washington Commanders.
When did this happen?
This happened once they literally just cover every number. What are you talking about? This is my squad, man. Like, win or lose, long as it's against the spread and this and win, you my squad, bro. I apologize publicly to Meathead, Dan Campbell. I'm gonna call you Mr. Campbell, sir. I mean, they got I said Jared Goff now has the iOS 16 system. He threw for 4 touchdowns. He ain't turning the ball over. It's incredible. But you know, shout out to the Washington Commandos. They were down 22-0 at the half, could have gave up and outscored them 27-14 in the second half. So
they made it a game briefly there at the end. I mean, Carson Wentz surprisingly pretty good these first 2 weeks. Been mostly good, Carson. There's still been the problems. I mean, 5 sacks in this game against the Lions, but
we're gonna see how good Carson is when he plays Philly.
But the Lions, I mean, we knew they'd be a lot better. The question kind of was, can this offense overcome a pretty shaky defense? And if Jared Goff plays like that, then they actually can't.
He can't play like that consistently.
Yeah, I don't think he can either. But I think this team can get to 7 or 8 wins. I mean, right now, they're averaging 3.8 yards per rush before contact. So, again, I mean, we just talked about how the Ravens can't get 3 yards a rush from anyone besides Lamar. This team's exceeding that before their guys even get touched. And after that, DeAndre Swift's still not easy to take down. I mean, we saw he scored a touchdown this game where he caught a ball and he was laying on the ground, got up and ran for a touchdown. So, I mean, this offensive line is playing an awesome level. Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like a legit number one wide receiver. And I think this offense just gets more interesting because Jameson Williams is coming back at some point in the second half of the season. If you get him to take the top off of defenses and you got St. Brown working in the slot, this team gets real interesting on offense. And they already scoring 30 points a game.
Yeah, but you gotta figure out the defense at some point. You gotta get stopped.
Yeah.
Gotta get stopped. You, like I said on the podcast, the pregame show, Lions can beat bad teams like the Washington Commandos. And if we're being honest, what's his name? Ron Rivera doesn't usually win back-to-back games anyway. So
he should also probably have already fired Jack Del Rio. And the longer it takes him to do that, the lower his own job security gets, because this defense, especially on the back end, considering they have, even without Chase Young, this is a good front 7. Mm-hmm. They're a mess on the back end. I mean, you don't give up 330 yards and 4 touchdowns I was looking at Wentz's stats. 250 yards and 4 touchdowns to Jared Goff, unless there's something wrong with your defense. So, I mean, yeah. I think they're just friends. It's like Jack Del Rio is out here like talking about how protests against racism are the same as January 6th. And then his defense sucks. And it's like, well, why is this guy still around?
Yeah. I mean, when you're the Commandos, I guess those types of things are like the last thing on your mind. I want to apologize to people. If you can hear that random, like, loud sound or random, like, commercial, I'm on the ESPN site. That's where I get, like, our game data from. And they always have these stupid pop-ups and stuff, like these random commercials when their clips stop. I hate it. Seahawks 7, Niners 27. Yes, I'm a Niners fan. No, I don't care that we're starting Jimmy G. No, I don't think Jimmy G gives us a better chance to win. I'm so sick of this. Like, we've seen Jimmy G already. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with Jimmy G and us winning football games. But that's at some point, that's not your goal as a franchise when you're competitive. We've already been to a Super Bowl. We've already been to the NFC Championship. We're literally doing the same things we did when we had Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. It's the same blueprint. We lost the Super Bowl. We lost the NFC Championship. And the team that we lost to in the NFC Championship ended up winning the Super Bowl. it's the same thing. So the only thing that we have now is not to make the playoffs, which I don't think will happen, but I'm just saying we've been down this road before. There are limitations with Garoppolo, limitations of the offense with Garoppolo. I don't want to hear, Kyle had a good game plan for him when he came in. limitations, bro. We're not going to see that against the fucking Seahawks. They're not good. We'll probably see those limitations when we go against the Broncos, who has a pretty good secondary and a edge rusher in Chubb that they can move around. And Jimmy can't make the tight window throws consistently, and he will not throw the ball down the field, which is what this offense needs. We need that. I get upset that when Trey Lance goes out, our running backs all of a sudden can get 18 to 20 carries a game. And to hear Kyle Shanahan and people like not want to blame Kyle Shanahan, this is your fucking fault. Trey Lance isn't built for this type of running. He's not. He's already shown that. You did the shit last year. You ran him 15 times in the game against the Bears or somebody, and he got hurt. He literally got hurt that game. He ran him like 50, I think it might have been the Cardinals, but he ran him like 15 times for no reason in a game where we were like, bro, you need to pass the ball. We've got running backs who can carry the ball for 18, 20 yards, and he got hurt. Then you turn around and you run him again. And granted, this was the start of the game, but the continuation.
Right.
The week before he led the team in rushing against the Bears, the week before, in the pouring down rain, when once again, we literally keep four running backs on the roster. We could have handed the ball off, but you ran him 15 times the week before. Then you turn around the next week and start off running him again and then wonder like, oh, he got hurt. Like, yeah, if it wasn't a broken ankle, it was going to be something. He's not durable. He's not durable. That's in his fucking film. That's in his history at the school. He played one full season, and even then he was banged up. So what are you doing? What are you doing? It's like they drafted this dude with no idea who they drafted. That's what pisses me off. That's why I get mad. I don't want to see Jimmy G. I don't want to see Jimmy G on my team. Why? Because we've already seen it. It ain't going to win a Super Bowl. And if the goal is to win a Super Bowl, we need a franchise fucking quarterback.
That's we've discussed this before. It's, you know, does Jimmy G give you a better chance to win the next three or four games? Sure.
Yeah.
But once Trey Lance had 10, 12 games, you were hoping at that point he's better. That by the time you reach the playoffs, because we think with either guy, I think we think this is a playoff team.
Yeah.
But once you reach the playoffs, your ceiling is higher, and it needs to be. Because, again, like you said, you go up against, Matt Stafford, pretty good quarterback. But then in the one Super Bowl, you end up with Mahomes. You almost won it anyway. But Jimmy G couldn't make the throw that he needed to when the game was on the line.
That's the throw that we always fucking need, and he can't do it, man.
Last year, it felt like every time he threw outside the hash marks, it was like, Jesus.
It was awful.
Could be intercepted.
Like, yes, I held my fucking breath. I had PTSD every time he threw. And even in the game against the Packers, we should have had like four interceptions against us. And thankfully, they couldn't catch. But the biggest issue with Jimmy G, and if anybody wants me to go back and show him, I can. The biggest issue with Jimmy G is that he reads the throws too late. He doesn't throw the ball on time in this system. And that creates problems. People get hit harder than they should, or balls get batted down, deflected, intercepted. Like, it just doesn't work. You have to throw on time in this. Generally, you have to throw on time in any system. But in the Niners system, you have to throw on time. Because there's so many moving parts, you don't have a lot of time to go through six progressions. You probably got two to three reads, and if he ain't got rid of the ball, you're in trouble. You're in trouble because we're moving people, sliding the line, sliding protections, guys who are supposed to be blocking and going off for passes and things like that. So you just have to analyze and react quicker than what Jimmy G does from time to time. And that's why we have issues, man. And I know some people are happy to see him. There's reports that people on the team have said openly, like, oh, they're so happy Jimmy's back. He gives them a chance to win. Like, Trey Lance had two fucking starts, not even two. A start in the quarter. Yeah. He hadn't played since 2019. Give him some goddamn time, man. The two deep passes I saw that he threw and completed were just light years better than anything we've seen from Jimmy G. If Jimmy somehow starts throwing the ball down the field, then I might take back some of what I said. But when he throws the ball down the field, it's usually to the other team. So
I will say on the plus side, Jimmy G's better at throwing passes than DJ Dallas.
Yeah.
Because that I think that was the funniest play of the week. Is Seattle has 2nd and 5 from the San Francisco 8, and they put 4 running backs in the backfield together, and DJ Dallas rolls right and just throws straight into the Niners defender. Like, no, like, that was perfectly covered, but, like, the receiver and another defender were behind this defender. He just throws it straight to him. It's a total duck. And it was amazing. Seattle, I hope you enjoyed the Denver win, because most of the games are going to be more like this. Although Geno, he threw a pick, but, you know, he's not a terrible game from Geno. He's played pretty solid, but I just don't think this team has what it takes to win very many games.
Another NFC West team, defending champion, Los Angeles Rams, got their first win, 31-27 against the Falcons. Alarming that they were outscored 17-3 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And alarming that they only won by 4. But a win is a win, you know, and Stafford's got to – he's got to clean it up. He threw 3 touchdowns, but also 2 interceptions. So he's just got to clean it up. They still don't have much of a run game, which is a little upsetting. Although Henderson had 47 yards on 10 carries, it's still
Henderson continues to look better than Cam Akers.
Yeah, definitely. And then I still can't find this guy, Allen Robinson, that they keep talking about.
He played pretty well in this game. He had a touchdown with 50 yards.
Yeah,
it wasn't really bad.
But
When Cooper Kupp's dominating targets all the time, it's hard to come by sometimes.
Is Matthew Stafford racist? Do you think it? That's
well, I mean, he's thrown to Higbee more than Robinson, too. So I think we at least have to consider it.
He did have a coordinator named Jim Bob Cooter. So there can be.
But I think he's in Jacksonville now, if I remember right.
I love Jim Bob.
Like, man. I think he's the QB coach there, which, again, that staff has like multiple former offensive coordinators. Which is
I will be boosting Jim Bob Cooter posts. Me and Corey used to do that all the time. Texans.
Oh, Broncos.
Go ahead.
Arthur Smith getting asked after the game why they're not using.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't fantasy. We're trying to win games. I don't know, man. Maybe throwing the ball to your number 4. They took him number 4 overall when Arthur Smith was in the building. He signed off on that, getting the tight end at number 4 overall 2 years ago. And you throw to him 3 times in this game? Like, Drake London looks good. Like, good job there, guys. But when the other receivers I don't even know who these guys are. Hodge, Zacchaeus. But I think they threw the like game losing interception to who was it? I think it was Brian Edwards or some. I don't even know. It was someone shorter because Brian Edwards is 6'3". They threw it up to some guy who just gets outleaped by Jalen Ramsey. Threw the ball to Kyle Pitts. He's the giant. I don't know why you're not force feeding this offense to Pitts and Drake London. And they actually are to London, but Pitts just, they're 3 targets. It's inexcusable. In a game you're losing, so you have to throw a bunch.
You literally can't win a game if you don't utilize your best player. And that's who their best player is. Kyle Pitts, if you can hear my voice, by all means, leave this franchise when your contract is up.
If they keep using him like this, he will for sure.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Texans, 19. Broncos, 16. Do I want to know what's wrong with Russell Wilson and the Broncos? I don't think I do.
Here's one thing. Through the first 2 weeks, they lead the league in false starts and in delay of games. Just the incompetence of this offense. It's inexcusable. I mean, again, I think there's probably Hackett should give up play calling duties based on both that stat and just watching their actual play calls where they do like fullback options on 3rd downs. Or maybe that was a 4th down. I don't even remember. But this offense is the most frustrating offense in the NFL to watch because you look at who's on the team. You know, Javonte Williams looks as good as Javonte Williams is supposed to look. Melvin Gordon's still good. Cortland Sutton has gone off 2 games in a row. But yeah, Russell Wilson's 14 of 31. And this offense keeps settling for field goals. He also punted on a potential 58-yard field goal in Denver a week after deciding to kick a 64-yard field goal in Seattle. So Hackett just continues to just look awful. And yeah, Russell Wilson doesn't look good either. I mean, he missed some. There were some open throws too where he just missed guys, didn't see them. I saw one clip where Javonte Williams is standing in the end zone wide open and Russ is off looking somewhere else. So yeah, they credit to the Texans for continuing to just create frustrating games for other teams. Their defense has actually played pretty well through 2 weeks.
I love the defense.
Now, Davis Mills looked more like the Davis Mills I expect to normally see.
Yeah, he's gonna be up and down, which is unfortunate.
They did give the ball to Damian Pierce this week, and he averaged 4.6 yards a carry. So at least there's one younger player on this offense to be excited about. But yeah, the Texans defense, yeah, a lot of credit to them for what they've done.
I might have to apologize to Stingley. He just continues to amaze me. Doing great. And my favorite thing is that he's showing that he's not afraid to tackle. I think the injury history is behind him, which is great to see. But yeah, I don't know. Jerry Jeudy got hurt. So that's the end of my Bronco fandom right there until he comes back. If you guys need to know about my fandom, it's whoever covers the spread, Josh Allen and Jerry Jeudy Rice. Those are my three. Okay. a crazy game. Cardinals Raiders. Cardinals won 29-23 with a fumble six. Was that?
Yeah, it was a fumble six.
Wow.
It was one the cleanest scoop I think I've ever seen a guy do on a fumble recovery. One-handed, without breaking stride, picks it up, takes it in the end zone. A fitting end to a ridiculous game. I mean, the Raiders were up 20 to nothing? Yeah, 20 to nothing in this game. And the Cardinals looking just as bad as last week. And then, Kyler Murray is most, as far as the offense goes, that's what happened. Because, I mean, they called a play on like a third and goal, or maybe it was fourth and goal. I can't remember. Like when they were attempting the comeback. And the play call was a fade to Marquise Brown in the end zone. Hollywood Brown is 5'8". It's not DeAndre Hopkins there. And I don't know if Cliff realizes there's a difference. I mean, and then you look at like what they have to do. They score at the end on a Kyler scramble touchdown on fourth and goal with no time left. And a two-point conversion, he's got to run around for 10 seconds and find A.J. Green in the back of the end zone. Like, they should fire Cliff. I think he's awful. Say what you will about what, you know, does Kyler watch film, blah, blah, blah. Is he just, you know, playing video games? Dude's talent is still crazy. And there's just nothing interesting about this offense. Like it's stale because everyone's seen it for 3 years and Cliff's not switching it up. So I think the Cardinals, good win for them. I think the truer part of this team is probably the first three quarters of this game. Raiders, must win mode. Good news for them is they get the Titans, who I think I believe in less than the Raiders. So
yeah, bro, Greg Dortch, who I love, no disrespect to Greg Dortch, has better numbers than A.J. Green. You got A.J. Green on your team, and you just told me that they threw a fade to Marquise Brown.
Right, like, I think A.J., you know, obviously A.J. Green is not close to prime A.J. Green, but yeah. If we're going to throw a fade, then, yeah, go for the guy who's 6'3", and yeah. The guy who's 5'8".
Oh, man, it's tough. I'm with you. I was Team Cliff when he came in, but after seeing his girlfriend, I think he just needs to go ahead and retire.
I will say credit to Vance Joseph and this defense for obviously the second half they played much better. And Davante Adams, 2 receptions for 20 yards.
Yeah, that was huge. That was huge. Upset of the week, Bengals 17, Cowboys 20. Upset of the week because everybody hates when the Cowboys win, except for people like me, who took the Cowboys. Let me tell you about my parlay real quick, though, man. And I don't know if it's going to get sidetracked.
Okay. I'm glad this went well for you because this game blew a 5-team teaser for me.
I need for people to understand my pain. I had the Cowboys money line. I had the Jaguars money line. And I had the – who else was it?
And this is
Cardinals. Yes.
Okay, so Cardinals, all three of those.
Cardinals, Cowboys, Jags, and the Saints. Oh man, I'm sick.
This is what you get for betting against Tom Brady, man.
God, I hate him. I hate him. God, I need him out the league. Cooper Rush, 19 for 31, 235 in the touchdown.
Cooper Rush, the two times we see him start games.
Yeah, not bad. I'm not saying I believe.
I'm really hoping Wink Martindale just overwhelms him next week. But he's, I mean, he's at least been a, he's a serviceable backup. I think that at least that is clear. He's not the end of the world.
Joe Burrow continues to get sacked on a regular basis, and I'm concerned. I don't want to be right. I don't want to be right about him not making it through the season, but some of it's him, some of it's the line. A lot of it, I think, is the play designs, man. They just take too long. The routes go too deep. You got guys who can work underneath. Like, you have a team that can work underneath. I don't understand why you won't do that. Chase can work anywhere along the field. He can work underneath. Hayden Hurst can work underneath. Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon. Higgins would be my vertical threat, like somebody that I would assume, like, or typically use down the field or deeper routes.
Yeah.
But you got four other options to take some pressure off your quarterback, and yet he's still getting hit on a regular basis. And even in this game, he averaged 5.5 yards a pass. So I still don't get it.
I mean, obviously there, you know, there's different issues here, but the tackles have not played well for the Bengals, and those are supposed to really be the two guys you really believed in. Jonah Williams and Leo Collins have both been bad. They've, like, the interior of the line hasn't been great, but it's been passable, but the tackles have been bad. Collins was a disaster in this game, especially. Parsons, unsurprisingly. I mean, that is probably the one, like, caveat to this, is they played Micah Parsons and then the multiple guys on the Steelers who are really good. So, again, hopefully that changes. I do think this is an especially bad matchup, too, because I don't know if any team – it's probably between the Bucs and the Cowboys for the defense that likes to run stunts the most. And when you've got a bunch of guys who have not worked together on an offensive line dealing with a talented front that runs a lot of stunts, it's going to cause issues. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I think that almost by default, things will get easier and thus hopefully better. But again, this is not a new issue, so you should have a plan for it. Burrow holds the ball too long. That's not – sacks are partially on the QB. I don't want to – I love Burrow, but this is partially on him. But, yeah, Zach Taylor, like, God, scheme something up. I mean, you look at – he's another coach who gets way too obvious with what he's going to do. If they go under center, it's almost always a run. If they're in shotgun, it's almost always a pass. And then in the five – they had five play actions out of – under center in this game. Those five plays resulted in a sack, three completions, and those three completions were for 4 yards. Like, when they do play action, they're just doing, like, screen. Like, show something the defenses haven't seen from you before.
Yeah, this is a league of adjustments needing to be made, and they've got to figure it out, for real. You can't have your quarterback getting hit this much.
No, 13 sacks in two games. And again, well, this is coming off of a playoff run where against the Titans, he got sacked 10 times.
Yeah.
So
he got sacked like 20 times in the playoffs as well.
Bears. They play the Jets next week. So hopefully that's the get right game.
Man, hopefully.
It needs to be. And if that's not the get right game, then all right, we're on Zach Taylor getting fired after a Super Bowl run watch.
Bears, Packers. Packers won 27-10. I mean, we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. Bears just don't have enough talent. That's all to it.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers, this was kind of the, again, don't freak out about week one. The Packers are still good. Great use of their running backs in this game. If you have two talented running backs, use them. Aaron Jones looked incredible. Sammy Watkins actually played well, which is exciting anytime that happens, twice a year. But, yeah, the Bears, there's not enough to work with. David Montgomery has an awesome game. You get 122 yards, and he scored 10 points. Fields had 14 dropbacks. Three of them ended in sacks, so that's bad. They only threw 11 passes. I mean, there's not a lot of talent on this team. Equanimeous St. Brown was their leading receiver. Anytime you say that, it's usually bad. I don't know what's going on with Darnell Mooney. He and Cole Kmet had 3 targets, and they had -4 yards combined. Those are supposed to be the 2 best guys in this receiving core. So, yeah, I mean, I think as bad as some other teams have looked, and granted the Bears have a win, they look like the worst team in the NFC, and I'm not even sure that it's close.
Yeah, but they have a 2 to 3 year plan, and I will give them that time frame.
Yeah, you just hope that Fields can show something down the line here, because nights like last night or two nights ago are not going to do it. But yeah, no one was expecting a lot from this team, and yeah, Green Bay though, Tampa Bay next week, so that's kind of a exciting game.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that game next week. Actually backing the Packers a little, so we'll see how that goes. Monday night's first game. Again, don't have to spend a lot of time on this. No. Bills obliterated the Titans 41-7. I mean, the score says it all.
Yeah, the only good thing I can say about the Titans is Treylon Burks has actually looked pretty well through 2 weeks. He was their leading receiver. Just Bills, considering the run defense was kind of like always the weakness on this defense, even when they've been really good. Derrick Henry getting 13 carries for 25 yards is awesome. There's not actually really anything negative to say about the Bills. I mean, Gabe Davis is out this game. Didn't matter at all. Just meant more Stephon Diggs touchdowns. So, yeah, Bills look as good or better than anyone thought going into this season. So,
The last game of Monday night, Vikings-Eagles. I don't know if you've seen the thread that I made, but there were some good positives to Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
Yeah. I'm very impressed with some of his growth in play recognition, mainly recognizing the big throws, I think is what really helps. Those explosive plays that you can get, like his one passing touchdown, I think is great. His interception wasn't even his fault. It was kind of fluke. Also shouldn't have been a play called in that situation anyway, but it is what it is. Monday Night Football, Kirk Cousins, we covered this in the preseason. Ooh. He showed up.
Yeah, it felt like his favorite wide receiver in this game was Darius Slay, who is a cornerback for the Eagles. So there you go. I mean, the ending sequence was just laughable, because he gets blitzed, throws off his back foot, underthrow, because he should be throwing to the back pylon. Slay can't quite pull it in. So on fourth down, it's the exact same thing. He gets pressured off his back foot, and Slay easily picks it off. So. And Slay was banged up. Like, they were trying to get him off the field on that play, and he was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, I love Darius Slay, man. I think he's
awesome. I mean, again, and they have Bradbury now as the number 2. I think that's this. If anything, it's a good sign for the Lions, is that they put up points on this Eagles defense. And the Eagles, again, granted, it helps to play Kirk Cousins on a Monday night, but they throttled this Vikings offense. And then, yeah, through 2 weeks – second highest graded QB after Josh Allen is Jalen Hurts on PFF. I think it was Derek Klassen on Twitter who said, has there ever been a QB like Hurts who just gets 5% better every year, like going back to college? Just every year, it's like, oh, he's a little bit better. Maybe he could be the guy. And, yeah, if you're Eagles fans, I mean, obviously, you know, don't get ahead of yourself. But,
yeah,
this is, I think, a top 5 roster in the NFL. And so if Hurts can continue to play like this, then they're legit contenders. And again, Shane Steichen, offensive coordinator. I mean, you mentioned he did have, you know, a bad call at one point in this game, but
yeah, it didn't cost him the game.
He's a guy, again, I think you want to be looking at him, watching what the Eagles are doing. If you're a team that's thinking about, we might need a new head coach next year.
I will say the only issue I have is that even though they were up 24-7, they didn't score at all in the second half. Don't ever take your foot off the gas.
If there was a lesson from this week where we had, again, last year, no comebacks of 20 or more points. We had 2.
Yeah.
And we had another team come back from down 13 in the last 2 minutes. So if there's a lesson from this week, it's don't take your foot off the gas.
What game are you looking forward to in the upcoming week?
I mean, it's hard to do better than Bucks Packers because, I mean, give or take, again, the Eagles look great, but considering – how sketchy I kind of feel about the Rams right now. And obviously, you know, the Niners, the ceiling has been lowered. This feels like, again, give or take the Eagles, these are the two teams you would expect to be the main contenders in the NFC, and they're facing off. So I'm excited to see what happens.
You just don't want to give Josh Allen his due. Josh Allen versus Tua, Bills, that's
the other
in
one.
Miami. That's the game I want to see. I'm sick of these dudes and the Dolphins. You had your 1 week that I needed you, and then you had to screw me over last week, so I'm fading you again. And you bet not come back.
I probably will, too, because I don't know that we're going to learn much about the Bills in this game, because even if they lose, I assume they're going to lose in some super close game. It's going to be like, all right, well, they're still the Bills. This is all about what the Dolphins are made of, because, yeah, they're coming off a high of an incredible comeback, but you also still were down 20 points in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens, yeah, against a Bills team that through 2 weeks has not taken their foot off the pedal at all in either of those games?
Yeah, we gon' see. Thank you, Joe, once again for coming through. Before we go, I have one question. Are you one of the people that sets the lines for Vegas? It's got to be a math person.
I mean, they're smarter than me based on my betting history. So.
That's funny. But yeah, I'll be posting this as well as the backdoor cover, and I will make sure I explain to people. One is for gambling, the other is for recap. Literally, it's in the name. So if you don't gamble, yeah, don't waste your time listening to the gambling podcast. If you would rather just know about the recap.
There's still stuff to learn from either podcast.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that they're 2 hours worth of podcasts. That's a lot of listening. And if
you're if your focus is gambling, definitely listen to that one
first.
And that's
I was saying, if you're a degenerate, go to the gambling one. If you just want to listen to football commentary, come to this one. But again, Joe, thank you. We'll be back next week. Next week, we'll try to do the live stream again. I just kind of like double booked and got a lot going on this week. But next week, we'll try to get back on around like 9, okay?
Sounds good to me.